Your friends who walk in confidence. Confidence. Is that how you've always faced the challenges in your life? That you are confident that God has everything clearly planned and that all is going to go well? I think experience teaches us to be a little hesitant once in a while because we've fallen. We've gotten our knees and noses skinned. And when that happens, we begin to try to calculate how we can bring about the best outcome. So let's talk about that tonight, because many people are over controllers and many are directionally challenged. You know, it's they really don't have a plan for where they're going. They don't know how they're going to get there. It's coming up on New Year's Day and the Rose Bowl. In 1929, UCLA played against Georgia Tech in the Rose Bowl. And it became a famous ball game for one reason alone. Everything else seems to be forgotten. Except that there was a fumble, and an All-American from UCLA, Roy Riegels, picked up the fumble and ran. And his teammate, Benny Lohm, caught up with him and tackled him before he went into the end zone on the wrong goal. He was mixed up. He went the wrong way. And it was a horrible experience from that day on for Roy, an All-American. He was that good. For Roy, he was now known forevermore as Wrong Way Riegels. We'll come back to him in a little bit, because people that live that way in their life may not know exactly what they're going to do, so they just keep running. Do you remember that scene? Forrest Gump ran out of the stadium and kept running. Did you know that there's a new religion that has gained as many adherents as the Wisconsin Synod in the United Kingdom alone? Jediism. Believe it or not. The new movie's out, so why not? It's a bona fide religion. It is a religion that puts focus on the force, knowledge, and wisdom. Ironically, one would think, you know, to have a vague kind of sense like it is on display would be not all that attractive. But people could divide between what George Lucas presented. But one rabbi, as he reviewed this, said that it's the same as all other religions. Man is in search of something greater than himself, and he will find a way to defy death. And here's what he defines as the Darth Vader, the dark side. He says the dark side in Judaism is when you go for the right goal, but use the wrong method at the wrong time. That almost sounds like Machiavellian principles, doesn't it? As long as I get where I want to go, it doesn't matter how I get there. We can learn a different thing. Divine wisdom will keep you from wandering. Let's go to page 10, and there we can look at Solomon's wisdom and how God gets us back on track when we ourselves go astray. Solomon portrays the danger of wandering spiritually. In verses 7 and 8 of chapter 7, I'm going to set this up and then we'll listen to the language that he uses. So we'll start right from the beginning of the chapter and then we're going to concentrate on what happens to the young men. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. So this is positive advice. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. It's not mystical language. It's actually quite very real. Because that's exactly what a human being does. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinsman. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. Now, the rest of this is not part of our text, but it'll be the supportive structure. It's what Solomon was going to put on display. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. It's interesting that in the wisdom literature, Solomon is going to take things that are generic and he's going to boil them down to what we would call a case history. And so he describes this young man as he is wandering about. And you know, sometimes we just get bored because we haven't decided that we know where we're going or put our hands to something of value. But other times, we really don't know. We're insecure, undetermined. We wander around. Have you ever watched a kid around the refrigerator when they're hungry? They open the door, look in, and close the door. Then they go to the cabinet, and then they make the circuit again, right on around until they've looked at every piece of food because they're undetermined as to what they're going to eat. And they'll do it again. Maybe that was you this afternoon after eating like you did during the Christmas holiday. You're not quite sure what you want anymore. You've had all the good stuff. Now you know you probably ought to eat the right things. And it's that young man wandering like that that gets him into trouble. You can hear, and it develops in chapter 7, what's going to happen. The young man comes by, and he sees a woman that has a certain level of attractiveness. She's undoubtedly good-looking. She is maybe even all his age or a little older, but he is attracted to her, and she sweetens up to him. You can see what's coming. She is going to be an allure for him and draw him in, because she wants something different from what he wants. But he goes, as the psalmist will say, he goes almost like an animal that is attracted by something, an appetite within them. Verse 22 and 23, all at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. How did he wind up in such a dangerous arrangement? Well, you don't have to look far. You can review it in your own life. You can see it in the lives of your children, your grandchildren. You can see it in the lives of your neighbors, your friends. Along the way of human wandering, this has happened again and again and again. And it's not a description of a single event. It's that we are not always ready when the temptation arrives. You see, it's like the young men who think that having a good time. Now, I guess if you're down in Miami, you might as well go fishing and catch a large shark. Did you hear that from the Badger team? They caught a 450-pound shark. And release, catch and release. That sounds like a good time. It's still probably dangerous to a degree, right? Yeah. Sharks. However, the Indiana Pacers decided that they were going to have a little bit of fun in the middle of the night. At 2:15 in the morning, a fight broke out at the 8-second saloon, and the whole team got in trouble, and they almost completely crashed their tournament expectations and hopes. Turned into a big affair. One commentator noted that nothing good can ever come out of being at a bar at that time in the morning. You know, that's probably what mom told you. Don't do that because it's downright dangerous. So spiritually, let's go on and take a look at what it means to be spatially aware. Aware of where I am in my history and where I am in time. Spatially, you make progress as you get older. You do not have as many immediate temptations as you age. However, don't pat yourself on the back just because you got gray hair. You also get deeper into your ruts, and you go back to the same few things again and again. So when you're young, you do a lot of taste testing. When you get old, you actually have a harder time to break the chains. You see, what the writer here, what the man of wisdom, the teacher, was trying to do was he was trying to bring the attention of his young people, his sons, and the people of his court around to focus on what was most important. Really, what he's saying here is that he is seeking to contrast the way of the wandering young man with a better way. What's better than that? So in chapter 8, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? Sounds like the same beginning, doesn't it? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gate leading into the city. At the entrances, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right." And the difference is this, that wisdom, when she calls out, has a specific destination. She is designed to bring a person safely home. Now, if I was directionally challenged and I wanted to go to Madison, but I took off because it's just so convenient to get on I-43 and I headed north, how am I going to get to Madison? I'm not. You can't take off in the wrong direction and expect to get to the west. So the question is, where should we be going? Yogi Berra once said, "You've got to be careful if you don't know where you're going because you might not get there." You probably didn't keep up with that. Let me read that again. "You've got to be careful if you don't know where you're going because you might not get there." My dad used to say things like that, and I would scratch my head for a while. Because, you know, there's a positive wandering with an O that takes you on a journey of exploration, and it's different than a spiritual wandering. The things that we heard from Ecclesiastes, we heard from Jesus, are all designed around one thing. They're designed about paying attention to God's word and then learning discernment. The yes, the no, the right, the wrong. And honestly, there isn't anybody who has done it so well that they really ought to be the what was his name? The little green guy, the teacher that was many, many years old in Star Wars. We really don't. Even when we go back as teachers, we need to learn it all again, because it's in every choice, every situation in life, and each stage of life that we need the Word of God. We need to yearn for it, thirst for it, hunger for it, and God will fill us up according to His promise. In fact, wandering can be a positive thing. I think that getting lost on purpose can be a very good thing. You might someday just get in the car and start driving. You might do it on foot. That's probably better for you. Take a walk. Maybe not in the middle of winter in Wisconsin. But when you wander, you should have still a sense that I'm exploring with someone alongside me. Being on a walk or going just for the wandering sake, Aristotle used to do that, and he would teach on the walk, and they called them his students the peripatetics, because he wanted them to be subjected to the real world while they were learning and not just in an artificial classroom. The idea is to learn to build your relationship with God. So if you are attuned and you are wandering in a positive way, are you thinking about how God has created that tree and giving honor and glory to Him? Are you amazed by the things you see? Are you putting them into perspective? I think Wisconsinites have a craving for that. That's why they go up north. That's why they want to get away from it all. I just wonder sometimes whether they have that connection that they are wondering or wandering. And tonight we're going to try to set it into God's track. Point number two, then God adds how to get back on the track. Wisdom leads you into new paths of discovery. Where does God want you to be? Really is the whole concept. Is what should I be doing with my thinking, my reading, my absorbing? We are God's workmanship or craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's really very much like parenting. The children don't always understand that the parents are trying to design for each child that which meets their particular gifts. So one child will take a music lesson while another takes a sports track and another takes an academic track. It's because not every child is exactly alike, and the parents can't give exactly the same gift to every person. And often we struggle because we look at our neighbor and we think, I want his life. I want his path. And it's the wrong direction. God has designed for you exactly where he wants you to be. And you won't have that full perception until he opens up the curtain and says, welcome home. You're here. You made it. And it's in journey that we are learning to have a better relationship. The destination has to be planned around God. The rest of life is attendant circumstances. God is the goal. God is the destination. And if you see a person that has that as the focus of their life, then you understand there is a start, not just of knowledge, but of wisdom. And I think that's why when he was 12 years old, Jesus amazed the older teachers, because he started with God and he wanted to know everything about God and how it related to him. You don't have to be a scholar, but you do have to be at the right place. One man said, I got lost in the mountains. When I stopped to ask directions to the campsite, I was told, you can't get there from here. You must start from the other side of the mountain. This is where discernment begins. We start with the question of, how does this affect my relationship with God? And there is the question of the wise. When we begin to fall prey to sin, to Satan's strategies, it usually means that we've gotten away from that concept. We've wandered spiritually, but God has given us many new opportunities. He says, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? It's available. It's there for us. And not just in the Old Testament, but distinctly drawing towards the life of Jesus. In James, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. I'm curious about this because I want to age well. Some of you want to go with me? I don't want to age in such a way that I become more and more internalized, crabby. That's a tendency of old age. Did you know that? Do you know that a recent study said that if you're going to age well, you need to get moving and get out. The moving part was that exercise, and it isn't just running or lifting weights. It's almost any exercise, walking, biking, going into the pool. All of those things are beneficial for a person's attitude. I'm going to move from the spiritual to the, or from the physical to the spiritual in just a moment. The second study is from the Journal of American Geriatrics. Did you know that among 78-year-olds who left their home for any reason almost daily, 71% survived to age 85? You're going to make more than 7 years if you're getting out and getting moving. However, among people the same age who rarely went out, only 44% lived that long. I guess if you want to shorten things, just sit, do nothing. But while you're doing that physically, recognize that you're also probably not expanding your world. You're not enjoying your world. And I know that it gets difficult because I sense it already, that my muscles ache, my body's sore. Okay, younger people, I can get to you too. Because, you know, sometimes the problem for younger people is that they want so much more out of life. They want to try it all. And the wisdom here says, step back a little bit before you dive into something with everybody else. Don't jump without knowing a little bit of the circumstances and the outcome. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Then the Apostle Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on to take hold of that for which I have been taken hold of. It's this, that when you stop learning and getting a framework of the scriptures, when it gets old and musty to you, boring to you, then you're losing, you're slipping, not only in your wisdom, but in your destination of God. God needs to be the center. And he doesn't have to twist or turn your arm. He really is that beautiful, that wonderful. All you have to do to see that is to ask the question, what if I botched it all? What if I've been going the wrong direction? I've been up on I-43 and I can't get anywhere back to Madison. And the truth is, yes, you can. Because there's one beautiful life that changed everything. And this is the absolute truth of each new beginning. God is a God of do-overs. He takes our failures, our faults, and he removes them. He places them on Christ. And he rebuilds. The human being is not just resilient. The human being is God's loved family member, children of God. And the Apostle John will say, and that is what we are. You know, at the very end, Roy Riegels was, he was so upset that he had failed his team. When he went in for halftime, he heard the coach say, come on, we can do this. We can still come out on top. Coach Price looked at the team and said, men, the same team that played the first half will start the second. Everybody got up, moved out. They were all fired up, except Riegels didn't move. He stayed sitting there. When the coach came back, he had tears running down his face, and he said, I can't go out. I'm so embarrassed. I can't face anyone. I'm done. I'm over. And the coach said, Roy, get up and go back. The game is only half over. They did play out. And if you've ever lived through one of those kind of situations where you've made a bad choice or a bad mistake, then it's time for you to let go and let God. Let him take over and give him the glory for the turnaround. Give him the glory for a new year and a new way. You see, don't be afraid that you're going slowly, you know, smell the roses, because whether it's in Scripture or whether it's in life, if you're observant, you have much to gain. God didn't design people to sit for long and it becomes a health hazard and an eternal wasteland. Spiritually speaking, in Christ, God dismisses our regrets by getting us focused. He gives us a new special assignment. And I've watched so very often people that were depressed or down and they wanted to give it all up. And then God gives them the best chapter of their life. Don't look at the old and think that it has control of you. Look only at the compass, at Christ, and you will find your way. God be with you in 2018. Amen.